Hello, and welcome to episode 89 of Design Cures Podcast. Today on the podcast, we are discussing construction projects. They can be very intimidating, especially when you're just starting out in your career. So whether you're going to work for someone and you've never been through a remodel before, or you have started your own business and you are approaching your first bathroom remodel, you don't know what to do. So this episode kind of helps you understand the different sizes, what to expect on the construction projects. And in the episode, I kind of get into reasons why, if you're going through this, you might want to be in My Design Mentor. So you can check out the links for that in the show notes. All the resources I have there, downloads, a quiz you can take. So don't forget that. So let's get into construction projects and take away some of that mystery. You're now listening to Design Curious, a place where you, creative one, are here to learn about what it really is like to be an interior designer. And I'm your host and mentor, Rebecca Ward. If you're worried about how to succeed in a creative career, if you're ready to learn your next steps to become an interior designer, and if you want the satisfaction of doing something you love every day, you are in the right place. Grab a coffee, a notebook, and let's dig into today's episode. So if you went to design school like I did, you may have had a requirement to create construction drawings for a project, and that would include some section cuts of different areas. Likely, though, you probably didn't have to work with any foundation work or floor framing, ceiling framing, roof framing plans, because those are more architectural, unless you're maybe in an interior architecture class. But these were things that I learned how to do as I got out into the real world and was working with architects for a while the design was slowing down in the years before the recession. So I learned a lot about the insulation, how the framing requirements were for a house, especially for California. We almost always do slab foundations. And so I learned how to draw a detail for the footings and all kinds of construction details I never knew before. But when I found it most useful was when I could go to visit the project site and see that happening in real life. So it went from paper to real life, and it really helped me understand the drawings that I was doing. Now, a lot of people don't have this experience, and it's not required for interior design, but it definitely does help to have some of this knowledge or to keep learning this as you're doing construction projects. Construction projects come in many shapes and sizes, and each one has its own challenges and rewards. As a designer, you're often doing the construction drawings that are consistent with the size of the project. So you will include demo and new floor plans, elevations, electrical plans, renderings. And then, of course, you're going to be doing some finish selections and maybe even purchasing those depending on your project or where you live and work. And the last main aspect of a designer's role in doing a project management is that the project is being implemented by the contractor, and the designer helps to make sure that the design is being implemented the way he or she designed it. Project management is a big part of a project, especially kitchen and bath, whole house remodel, new construction. And so you want to be on site as things are being built to make sure it's all going smoothly. There's likely going to be some things you didn't anticipate too, especially in remodels when you open up walls, there's surprises. But let's talk about the different sizes of construction projects and kind of what you might need to know with each of those. So if you're doing a super small one, that might be putting new flooring, paint, and lighting in, or a combination of any of those. You might be doing that in conjunction with the furnishings project. The client maybe brought you in to refresh a room, and you're like, oh, while we're at it, we need to update this lighting overhead, and we need to put some new paint. So you're going to want to bring in subcontractors that are on your A-team who can implement all of these changes, and you're going to want to be able to speak with them about these finishes that you're selecting, the location of the lighting. And if you're unfamiliar with maybe how far out a light should be from the wall, you can lean on your electrician to really get his or her opinion on where it should be, and then consider that with your furniture layout and see if that will be good. So you don't necessarily need to know it all before, but definitely have a plan and then be open to suggestions. Hopefully have a great team who respects your plan, but also knows when it needs to be adjusted for the benefit of the client. So those might be some small, minimal effort changes that you might get. You might not even need a general contractor to help you with that. Likely, you can just work with the subs directly on these small items for that size of project. A medium-sized project might be more like a bathroom, hall bath, a laundry room, mud room, maybe a fireplace remodel, or some kind of combination of these. So you're not like doing the whole house, but you're not just doing one room. And the level of construction required for these projects is much higher. So you're going to be working with a lot more finishes that need to be touched or changed. And that can increase the challenge of designing it. But it can be very exciting and then lead to other projects down the road. So these are great for your portfolio. Every bathroom that we do, we learn a little bit more about how we want to design it, what we want to see going forward. So every project you can do like this is great. Don't be afraid to take on construction projects. You just need the right team to work with. So in these situations, I usually bring on a general contractor. And like I've said before, in the state of California, unless you have a general contractor's license, you can't hire subs directly. And so since a lot of subs are needed for these kinds of projects, then I usually bring in a general contractor to manage their schedule and work with them on that. And also we are likely pulling a permit for these types of remodels, especially if it's changing the layout of a bathroom or something like that, or moving laundry room appliances around. So we'll need a permit, and then having the contractor name on that permit is required. So that is a medium-sized project. We do a lot of those. They're great fillers in between our small and large projects, and they're very satisfying. They're kind of quick. You get them done usually within, you know, around 8 months, 6 to 8 months from when you start working with the client, as long as your contractor has availability. The larger remodels now, let's talk about a bigger scale construction project, which might be a little more daunting to take on early in your career, but this would be kitchen remodels or even whole house or many rooms of a house altogether. So anything that involves a kitchen is definitely a larger remodel project, but you might be doing kitchen and a couple of bathrooms at the same time. So there is a lot going on here. So with kitchen design, if you're starting out, you will probably work heavily with your cabinet maker on the layout of the kitchen just to make sure you're getting everything right. But definitely be studying kitchen layouts, work triangles. I still pay attention to work triangles. I saw a social media post about someone who's saying, like, who pays attention to work triangles anymore in the kitchen when you can lay out your kitchen so differently. And I don't know. I think it's still important because I like to have a tighter work triangle so I can move from the fridge to the sink to the oven and not have to walk halfway across my house to get to from one thing to the next. But these triangles might look different. They might be stretched or shaped differently depending on the needs of the client or the configuration of the room. So nothing is rigid, but definitely study some good kitchen design. Now, if nothing else, have your dishwasher next to the sink. Consider having more than one dishwasher. Just like you might have a prep sink in the island, maybe you have a separate dishwasher, a smaller dishwasher in the island besides the main one. Especially if it's a large family or they do a lot of hosting or they're semi-professional cooks, they just love to cook, then all these dishes are going to start stacking up, and having more than one dishwasher is great. So you're going to also want to consider storage design, functionality of the kitchen. There's a lot of plumbing options, appliances. We often ask clients, what level of appliance are you looking for? Do you want semi-professional? Do you want top of the line? Do you hardly ever cook and you order out and you just want it to look nice? Then, you know, we won't need to get necessarily the top of the line if you're never going to be using it. So that's important to ask. But here, you're definitely going to be working with your general contractor, doing a lot of site visits, answering a lot of questions. There's a lot of plumbing items that you're going to need to work with your plumbing rep to make sure that you have all of the valves and things that you need right on site at the beginning of construction. I'd say one level up from these large kitchen and almost whole house remodels would definitely be doing a new build or an entire gut project. And those projects usually take over a year, 18 months, maybe even 24 if it's a new build, from start to completion. There's a million details that go into that. Take your time. Don't panic. You know, I think I'd mentioned before in a previous podcast about all the courses and things that I have. I do have that remodel survival guide. It really goes through the order of events of what happens in a typical remodel. So if that's something that you just want to have on hand, then I'll provide the link in the show notes and you can purchase that. It doesn't cost very much and have that on hand. But it's also information that I provide through My Design Mentor. Another advantage of being in My Design Mentor is as you're starting out on your first construction project, you can have me right there every day answering questions on, you know, if something comes up on the job site or you're getting ready to go into your first bathroom remodel, if there's anything else that you need to consider. So that's part of what the program is there for, tailor it to your needs, whether you haven't started your business, whether you're looking to work for someone else and need to know a little more information, or you are already getting your projects going and you need some more advice. Okay, I didn't mean for that to be an ad for My Design Mentor right in the middle of the episode, but there you go. I think that's one of the advantages, because construction projects, definitely intimidating for most people. One of their biggest fears, furnishings are things that are just more approachable, I think, for designers, and a lot less expensive problems can happen with just furnishing projects. So things to think about when you're doing a construction project, that it can be expensive. It's usually more expensive than you and especially the client realizes. So try to get realistic budget numbers before you start out so that there's no surprises or major surprises along the way. Don't forget about your permits and local codes that will need to happen. You know, there's things that come in like thermostatic switches for moisture in the bathrooms or the number of outlets that need to be in the kitchen backsplash, things like that you're going to need to know in order to pull the permit. And if it's not on the plans while it's in permit review, they will note out everything that needs to be included and send it back to you. So if you're like, I just don't know what needs to be on there and this just needs to go in for a permit, don't worry about having to do plan checks. There might be a lot of information that comes back, and then sifting through the documents that they send back, what they want to see might take a little while. But if it's your first time, you're likely going to have to go through a plan check maybe two or three times to get all the information on there that you need. And then as they're in construction, because it's being permitted, they have inspectors come out and check that the work that's being done is to code and approved. But like they need to have all the valves and everything checked before they cover up the walls. So those are things that likely your contractor will be aware of and be managing for you. You don't necessarily have to schedule with the inspector unless you're acting. Like some states will let you act as a general contractor, as an interior designer. So those are definitely things you will need to know. But hopefully you don't have to learn it the hard way, and we can get you kind of a heads up before you get there. Also, think about your relationship with your contractor and subs. So good relationship makes everything easier. Have respect for what they do. Hopefully they respect what you do, and you're bringing them work. So that's very important, and producing something that's beautiful that they can be proud of too. We will typically matchmake contractors with our clients instead of getting multiple bids for the project. It's not required. So we'll say we work with about 6 different general contracting teams, and we'll kind of pick the contractor we think works best with the client as far as personalities go, availability, size of project, each contractor's specialty or style. Then we'll kind of just fit them with the client. And usually the client is very happy with that, and that they don't have to do a lot of decision making on deciding between 3 different bids. And then don't forget that if you are supplying the finishes, that you can mark those up. So you'll often get a trade discount on ordering the finishes, or a contractor's discount, it might be called. And then you can make profit on that, just like contractors do. They will include in their bid oftentimes a percentage of overhead and profit, which varies, can vary quite a bit on different bids that I've seen different contractors. And sometimes I'm telling them, you should mark up more than that. You need to be making money on this project, not breaking even. So those are things to consider on construction, just kind of skimming the surface here. But like I said, if you're approaching your first construction project, I have that remodel survival guide that definitely goes through all these steps, things to consider, and then also my design mentor is here for you. So really just skimming the surface, because there's so much to know, so many variables going into the different sizes of construction projects. But my bottom line here is that don't be afraid to take on construction projects. They're very satisfying. If you're a designer at all, you're likely going to have clients who are wanting to refresh your kitchen and bath, because kitchen and bath is one of the best return on investments that people can do for their homes. And so that's likely the places that they're going to do. And they always look great in your portfolio. So don't shy away from those projects. Of course, I still think that furnishing projects, if you can get the construction and furnishing, then you can really kind of tie the bow on that project and say, I touched every area of this house, and that's very satisfying. All right, that's all I have for this week. Stay tuned for another great episode next week, and until then, stay creative. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode, please leave a rating and a review. This helps me reach other curious creatives like you. If you have a topic request or would like to contact me, simply head over to my website, rwarddesign.com, or email me at podcast@rwarddesign.com.